This time of year brings us two things, graduations and Father's Day. And the gifts that go along with them. Before you buy your dad another tie or the grad a balloon that will probably float away, ask yourself this. Does my dad or grad like wings or sports or better yet, both? If the answer is yes, then get them a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. Right now, if you purchase $30 worth or more in-store or online, they'll give you a $5 bonus to keep for yourself. That's a gift that gives back. How generous of you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Carmen and Yurt on ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great day. A lot of people probably sleepy after last night's Pearl Jam show that went late because of the weather. They blew right past the curfew.
Yeah?
I think they paid the fine. What is the fine? What do you think the fine is? 10 grand? What does Eddie care? He'll pay the fine,
like 5 grand.
5 grand?
Come yeah.
Ricketts and Eddie could split that up. They whack it up. Hey, no problem. Here, 5 each. Go ahead. Take a little something extra.
Just call the mayor. It'll be taken care of, right? Just call Emmanuel.
The Chicago way,
man. Yeah, he'll take care of it. Even Emmanuel understands the Chicago way.
That's right. It's Carmen and Yurko. Jonathan Hood sitting in for Yurk again today and all week since Yurko is out on vacation. It's a big night on the south side. Michael Kopech makes his big league debut. We're excited for that. Chris Getz, the former White Sox infielder and their current director of player development, will join us about an hour from now. Jesse Rogers with the Cubs in like 30 minutes. Trying to get the offense going in Detroit, see what the latest on Yu Darvish is. So a lot of baseball to talk today. And, of course, we've got football. The Bears will get ready this week for their very important fourth exhibition game. Remember, it's already the fourth for the Bears, but they're treating it like the third. The starters are going to play most. Matt Nagy against his mentor, Andy Reid, and to talk Bears and go around the NFL a little bit. We've got our buddy Trey Wingo. You hear him every morning. Wingo and Golic right here on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. Follow Trey on Twitter. He is at Wingo Z. And are you tired? What time is you like you take your nap now?
Well, you're interrupting it.
That's what I figured.
I'm just kidding.
How's everything going?
It's good, man. It's good. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Great. We're great. Ready to go.
Getting excited for football.
I watched some of the first half of the Monday night game last night with the Colts. So, Trey, how optimistic should the Colts fans be for Andrew Luck and that Colts offense?
Look, the most optimistic thing I can say out of that first half last night was that he survived getting sacked. You know, I mean, the big hit from Suggs off the end was the perfect blindside hit, driving him down on his right shoulder. And he said after the game, look, you know, this... He was like, I'm glad it happened because he hit me. My elbow fell down, and I didn't feel anything funny. It wasn't unusual. I didn't feel like I was overly sore. I mean, they were sloppy. They were very sloppy. There's no doubt about it. But the best thing you can take out of Luck in the first team's offense performance, I mean, he was in for 5 drives, and they were 6-13 for – he was 6-13 for 50 yards, I think, in the interception in the red zone. So the best thing you can take out of that is that he didn't get hurt when he got a big hit.
Does Roger Goodell sit back in his office, kick his feet up, and just kind of laugh and chuckle and say, it all goes according to plan. Everybody's bitching and complaining and whining and making fun of us, but they can't help themselves. They talk about us constantly. I mean, this helmet rule thing, it seems like a disaster and a debacle, but does he just sit back, light up a cigar, and say, this is exactly what I wanted, because everybody is talking about the rule and everybody is talking about us?
Well, I'm not sure he's thrilled in the way that everybody's talking about the rule, but I think there's some validity to your point. You know, we had him on the radio show the week of the draft, and, you know, you always hear these stories, the demise this, the demise that, yada, yada, yada. And he said something very plain that I thought was very true. Everyone would love to have our numbers. Yeah. And he's 100% right. I think there was a research that just came out, 71 of the top 100 rated shows last year. We're NFL football.
I mean, come on.
And in 2007, I think there were 8 or 9. I mean, it is a different dynamic. Now, some of that is it really a look at how TV viewing has changed dramatically. You know, you have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, whatever, all that kind of stuff now. So you're not seeing those big network shows, but what is filling that void on those networks? Football, football, and wait for it, football.
Yeah. So what happens with the rule, do you think, Trey? I mean, they're at least going to acknowledge the fact that they should potentially tweak it, or they're going to discuss it, I guess. I mean, do you think in the 3 weeks that we have, less than 3 weeks now, they can add replay to this? How are they going to make sure that this doesn't cost the team when it starts for real in about 16 days?
Well, the first thing I think we need to understand is that whether or not they want to admit it, games are officiated differently in the preseason than they are in the regular season. We had Mike Pereira on yesterday, the head of Fox's analyst for rules on their TV side, of course, was formerly the VP of officiating, and he admitted, he said, look, I always used to say we call preseason games the same way we call regular season games. And he said, and I kind of lied. You know, he admitted that there were certain points of emphasis that they wanted to get through to people in the preseason that they were calling, and that they're more likely to call in preseason games than they would in regular season games. So that's the first thing. The second thing that you have to understand with the rule is that, you know, the NFL says they're having a daily dialogue. Well, they're having that daily dialogue about it because we're having this daily dialogue about it. I believe that. I think it will be officiated differently in the regular season. And remember, or won't be called as much. Because remember, in the past couple of years, what have we had? I think it was 2013 or 2014. They made it a point of emphasis on pass interference. And every single preseason game, they were flagging everything. And people were up in arms, and it was crazy. And then it wasn't that bad in the regular season. And it was a couple of years ago, remember, they instituted a new rule where a running back was going to be charged with a personal foul if, in the terms of trying to continue a run, he lowered his helmet to try and bowl over a defender. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That rule went away. Now, sadly, it was kind of replaced by the rule where everybody can't be doing that, which the helmet, a lowering of the crown of the helmet situation that we find ourselves in right now. But you do find these things to be brought up, emphasized in the preseason, and then not emphasized as much in the regular season, and sometimes actually just go away in their entirety.
Trey, more times than not, what is best for an NFL team? Would you rather redshirt a first-year quarterback or throw him in there in his first year? Because in all these markets, with Sam Darnold from Josh Rosen from Baker Mayfield, that's the question. What do you think is best when you talk to NFL people about this?
Well, I don't think there is a best. I think there is what the individual can handle. I mean, Carson Palmer sat for a year. Turned out to be a very good thing for him. Donovan McNabb sat for a long time. Turned out to be a very good thing for him. Troy Aikman played right away. Now, he had a rough rookie year, but I think it turned out to be a very good thing for him. You know, we have seen rookie quarterbacks. Andrew Luck played right away. Turned out to be very good for him. I don't think there's a rule in terms of the best way to do it. I think it's all about the player and what do you think of his ability. Now, I do think that Jared Goff waiting and playing limited time in his rookie year was a good thing. And then they got a better coaching staff in there, and he was able to sprout and do amazing things this past year. Carson Wentz played right away, and it worked out pretty well for him. I don't think there's a rule one way or the other. It has to be what you believe the individual can handle. And it looks like we may have two rookies start week one this year, and that would be the 11th straight year that we've had at least one rookie quarterback starting week one of the NFL's regular season.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Trey Wingo's our guest, Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Hoodie's in for Yurk. The Bears on paper right now have a difficult schedule, but, you know, it's kind of hard to predict in the NFL. You don't know about injuries and things like that. They're always surprising teams, good and bad. Looks difficult, though. Can they get to 7 wins? How good do you think the Bears are going to be?
I'm with you there. I don't put much credence into the schedule based on last year's strength of schedule unless you're playing the Patriots because they're very good every year. I mean, look, last year the Saints had gone 7-9 for 3 straight years. Mm-hmm. They turned out to be one of the best teams in football. The Rams are one of the worst teams in football in 2016. They were one of the best teams in football. The turnaround and the ability to flip based on a couple of things and a couple of injuries and a couple of additions can happen very quickly in the NFL. So I don't base a lot on last year's roster or last year's results unless it's the Patriots, because I think this year they have a chance. I think it's this year. I got to double check it. To tie the 49ers mark of 16 straight regular seasons with at least 10 wins. I think that's where we're at right now. I think it's this year they have a chance to tie it. So outside of predicting what the Patriots did the previous year and using that going forward, I really don't put much stock in it at all.
Trey, do you see the NFC North being the most competitive, most difficult in NFL?
I think it might be actually both of those things. Look, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, you know they're going to be good. Minnesota had the lead on the road in the NFC Championship game with a quarterback they couldn't wait to get rid of. Their defense is back. Their offense, now they're a little banged up on the offensive line right now. But, Dalvin Cook is coming back, and I think that Kirk Cousins will fit in nicely there. Matthew Stafford has had, you know, really good numbers the last couple of years. If they can find a running game, they're going to be competitive. And I believe the offense of the Bears will be better because Matt Nagy is there, and he's an offensive guy, and they've surrounded, I think, Mitchell with some more better weapons. But it's a very, very tough division. There's no question about it. And if you're asking me honestly, to stack it 1 through 4 right now. I might have the Bears at 4.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, with the as competitive as it is and the talent that's still in the division, I don't think that's crazy. And then a lot of people think the Bears really can maybe show signs of life this year, but
could be
competitive in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough division. There's no way around it.
Yep. Trey, thanks as always for the time. Go get some sleep, and we'll be listening in the morning, all right?
You got it, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. That's Trey Wingo every morning. Wingo and Golic here on ESPN 1000, Monday through Friday, 5 to 9. Follow Trey on Twitter. He is at Wingo Z. Play fantasy football? Well, listen up. The draft is almost here. That means you either better learn to make wings and shareables better than Buffalo Wild Wings, or order your takeout pack for draft night. While supplies last, you also get a free draft kit with your fantasy football takeout order. You'll get 50 wings, party-sized side, and a party-sized shareable. The only thing not included in this deal are the puny team names that you pretend you made up but actually stole from the internet. Do they mean funny team names? Yeah, they probably mean funny team names.
You say puny?
Yeah, but probably should be an F. It's okay. We all do it. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Funny has two ends, though.
Yeah, I think we're going with funny, probably.
I think. Yeah. Well, I saw the P first.
So we all do. Who doesn't, pal?
Now, that's a good line. You're going to have to bring that
put
one
that
back.
Put that in the copy. Hey, put that in the copy upstairs.
Oh, that was funny. All right, Chris Getz in about 45 minutes. Jesse Rogers, top of the hour. He's made his way to Detroit. Trending's next on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. A lot to get to. How about some baseball conversation? Cubs in Detroit. We'll talk to Jesse. And also Jason Benetti. He joins us to talk Michael Kopech and the Chicago White Sox as well. We'll talk about the Bears. They're back to work getting set for their fourth preseason game of the year. Mark Giangreco joins us at 5:30, a little special edition of Marky, plus a trip inside Waddle's world. We get started at 1:45. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
All right, we'll see the boys in an hour. I think it's just Sylvie today, actually. Waddle's off today and Friday. I'm going to hang out with Sylvie for a little bit. Hoodie's in for Yerk this week.
We're really playing checkers this week.
Oh, man, and next week, too. That's what happens right before football starts.
Yes. You see this thing about the Browns?
No, what happened?
I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns, heavy favorites on in Vegas. A lot of them looking at 5 wins, maybe 6 wins.
For the over?
Yeah. What do you think? Jeez. Five and a half and 6, I've been seeing.
You go from 0 to 6? I mean, I would still bet the under. I'm not betting it.
It's safe. It's just safe to go under.
It's a big jump, 0 to 6. I mean, I guess it's possible that, you know, you got Landry, Taylor's decent.
Yeah.
You get a full year out of Myles Garrett, right?
Four wins. I think that's fair.
Well, Jonathan, to take it just one step farther, man. Not only just the over on their win total, they're saying that the Browns have attracted more bets to win the Super Bowl than the Falcons, the Chiefs, Jacksonville, and let's see, which all made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And only the Raiders and the Steelers have more bets to place to win the AFC than the Browns.
How is that? That's surprising.
Don't waste your money.
Where are they going? Where is that coming from?
The public likes the Browns, and no one knows why.
To win the AFC? I mean, that really seems like a jump from 0-16 to win the AFC.
America's drunk.
Don't you understand that the Browns are this year's Rams?
I thought people felt that way about the Bears, not the Browns. Jeez.
Let me ask you a question. What's trending today?
Anything good real quick, boys? We only got a minute here. Brought to you by Northwestern Football. Visit NUSports.com, and they've got great games up in Evanston this year. We've told you about Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more.
I was going to bring up the Browns piece that Jonathan just mentioned. Happy Kopech Day,
happy
guys.
Kopech Day. Chris Getz will talk about Kopech making it to the majors and what they expect and what they hope in these last 6 weeks. So we'll do that in about 35 minutes. Jesse's going to join us.
That's all.
The Browns thing is crazy.
It tripped up Carmen. See, he can't figure it out.
Well, I just can't imagine that they're attracting that much money to win the AFC.
Yes.
Behind only who? The Steelers and the Patriots?
The Raiders.
Don't you understand
the Patriots? They're getting more money to win on the Browns than the Patriots. How can that be?
Don't you understand people have a mortgage to pay? This is the lottery ticket. This is the scratch-off.
I guess because the odds are just so great, people figure you might as well roll with the... You'd never bet the Patriots.
This is the scratch-off ticket, man.
Wow.
Cherry, Browns.
Get Furman on because what could that... I'm struggling to figure out how that could possibly be.
Vegas is just laughing. Like, come on, bring your money.
Some guys chimed in on the whole, like, should you take even money now that it's 6-5, too? So we can... I'll revisit that. Well, because, like, historically, you'd never do it, but...
No. Not with this team.
No, I meant on the blackjack thing. Okay. Yeah. No, not the 6.5 for the Bears. Yeah, that's another scary bet. Laying 150 for the Bears on the over? I don't know. This hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Order your Buffalo Wild Wings takeout pack for draft night. 50 wings in a party-sized, shareable. While supplies last, you also get a free draft kit with your order. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Jesse, as soon as he lands, and some other fun stuff, Chris gets at 1:30 on Kopech's debut tonight on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
So, Jonathan, are you going to eat this Thai chili pepper and see how long you...
Hold on, I got a video. I took the video.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yep. Oh, my God, you ate the whole thing? I thought you were just going to take a small bite. Jonathan.
It's good.
Is it hot?
Yeah, it is hot.
Is it?
Yeah, it's fine.
He's like, yeah, it's hot. Are you okay?
Yep.
He's doing a good job. Look at him.
All right, so what's on the show today?
That's pretty amazing, Hoodie.
Are his eyes going to start to water?
No, I'm fine.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's pretty okay. Fine.
Hopefully he's here tomorrow.
Are you going to be here tomorrow? His eyes are right? Watering.
Here's the thing.
Oh, Jesus.
When you're built like a 55 DeSoto, it takes a while to get down the pipe there. So
be careful.
So, it was fine. But 3 minutes, it was fine. Hey,
make sure you're here tomorrow.
It's like drinking a 12-pack quickly.
Oh, my God.
For a few moments, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but then,
and then you're
all messed up.
Oh,
Waddle gets you home next.
Yeah,
we'll see you tomorrow on ESPN 1000.
My sinuses.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
It was a Thai chili from Waddle's Garden. Those things are hot, man. And it was like a delayed reaction, but it got you after a little while. Did your lips burn?
No.
No?
No, just an inside. That's my uppers.
Oof.
That's the only thing. It was a weird thing because it wasn't hot. It was like a 6 or 7. And then like 5 minutes later, it's like,
really?
Like an inferno. Like,
a dragon?
It hit me hard.
Breathing fire?
Yeah.
When did it go away? A few minutes?
After we left.
Yeah?
After we left. Yeah, it's a couple of sips of water. I didn't need the milk or anything like
Dude,
that.
Dude, those things are hot, man. Be careful.
It was the eyes first. First, I couldn't see. Because
your eyes were starting to water.
It was really bad, but I don't think I've ever had that kind of delayed reaction. Like, it was fine, and then it just hit me all of a sudden. Like, pretty brutal.
Let's see what they are on the, what do they call it? The Scoville unit, right? Isn't that what it's called? That measures the hotness of peppers?
Yes.
And Thai chili Scoville. Let's see.
The Scoville also is to measure how hot the Vikings are.
Is it?
Scoville!
Dude, it's up there, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't even...
It's like, it's twice as hot as cayenne pepper.
What is it?
100,000, whatever that means. Like, what is that? Just a unit that they use? Here, let's see if I can get.
What is it on the scale of heaven to hell? Where is it on that scale?
I don't know.
Pretty
here, like a jalapeno, for example,
sure.
Is 8,000. A chipotle pepper is 10,000. A serrano pepper is 23,000. Cayenne pepper is 50,000. A Thai chili is 100,000. That thing's hot. Right.
Yeah.
You're cooking, man.
Yeah.
Habaneros are like 350. And then the Naga Jolica?
Great shortstop. Yeah. Dodger system.
855,000.
Yeah.
And police grade pepper spray is 5.3 million. Ooh, you don't want that.
No, I don't want that.
But then, like, 100,000, man, that's powerful
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I didn't, but it didn't hit me until, like, 5 minutes later, so.
I don't know why Waddle's growing these things in his backyard.
It doesn't eat them.
It's so crazy.
I mean, Peacock was so happy to get all those tomatoes.
Was she?
That was Yurko's tomatoes, but she was just like, where did you get all these? I was like, Tom Waddle. It's a gift from Tom Waddle.
And they're good. There's heirlooms in there.
And he doesn't even, Tom doesn't even like tomatoes.
I know. I had them over the weekend. They're delicious. Hoodie's in for Yurk. It's Carmen and Yurko for the finest quality seafood in Chicago. Visit Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant. Enjoy the best stone crab in the city and country. Get to the one and only Joe's. Visit joes.net for more info. Go see our great friends over at Joe's today. We'll take some calls in a few minutes, and we'll get back to the Browns thing. Like, we're curious, how is all this money rolling in on the Browns? But Jesse is ready to give us a quick Cubs update.
Jesse would know.
Yeah, I know.
You believe that the Browns are getting more public money to win the AFC than any team except for the Raiders and the Steelers? You believe that, Jesse?
I don't believe that.
It's the
truth.
What's
that all about?
I guess people say, why bet the Patriots? It's only 2-1. You know, with the Browns, you're getting plus 3,500. But how are the Browns winning the AFC?
Wait, okay, who's on Hard Knocks? Is it the Browns? It's the Hard Knocks money.
Yeah, and then, like, the Raiders have Gruden, too. So is that why the Raiders are getting so much love? I mean, they're a better football team, obviously.
Come on, talk show, Jesse. Give us a strong opinion on that. Why would a winless team have so much money in Vegas right now?
Baker Mayfield, baby. I don't know, man.
It's crazy.
So Jesse had an idea. I'd like to get a few seconds down if it's plus 3,500, though.
It is.
Right, exactly.
See, that's why Jesse's going to go put 100 on it.
I'll jump on the bandwagon. Somebody smarter than us.
Let's cheer for the Browns. Right? Yeah. All right. What are the odds that Yu Darvish pitches again? I mean, he's not going to pitch this season. We've talked about that. That seems pretty obvious. When do we know here? I mean, do you think the Cubs already know the results of this MRI? I'm assuming they do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I think we'll find out more today once we get to the ballpark. But I don't think we're going to get any huge news here. Remember, unless something's changed, this was an elbow impingement. This wasn't something that you could, the next day, Tommy John surgery, unless, again, they find something different. This was an injury that needs rest, number one, so maybe he didn't get enough. There's the possibility of surgery if he doesn't recover, and maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the road they're going to go down. I don't know what the answer is today, but he's going to have more rest. Let's start with that. And if they say, you know, come November, it's not feeling better, maybe at that point he goes under the knife. But I'm not going to speculate. All I know is, yes, there's no way he can just pick up a baseball again, because once there's pain with that elbow impingement, you can't go back to it 2 days later. You got to give it rest again. So maybe he didn't give it enough. Obviously, there's a timetable here. There's an end of the season that they're pointing at. So maybe he needs a full 3 months or something, or he needs some sort of surgery, or they find something new and it's worse than anyone expected. So all these are in play.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously something wrong. There's obviously pain. I don't believe he's faking this. I don't think anybody believes that. It's just a matter of, you know, what exactly it is. Could the ligament be okay then, Jess? And this impingement would need to be, you know, they would need to do some sort of surgery to remove that? I mean, that's on the table, I'm supposing?
Yeah, right, exactly. The ligament could be okay, or an MRI found something new. But right now, an elbow impingement has really nothing to do with you know, potential Tommy John surgery. But let's just see. I mean, that was the diagnosis. Who knows if it was actually right? Which would be a whole other story if it wasn't. But I think that there's a lot of people scratching their heads over this thing over the course of several months here, right? Because he wasn't, you know, he had to go back down to his doctor in Dallas, get a second MRI, try a cortisone shot. So there's been a lot of mystery, and that's why people like A-Rod and everyone else has kind of speculated on their own because of all that. Remember, he got back on the timeline. Okay, he's feeling better. He changed his motion. Simulated game went okay. Now we're back to square one. Again, for like the third time. So a lot of mystery surrounding this, and I assume I asked him about that, the mystery of it all, and he said, I'm more than anyone confused by this. Basically, he said that last time around. So that's all in play here.
Jesse, a two-part question regarding tonight's starter, Kyle Hendricks. What is the letter grade you'd give for Kyle Hendricks this season, and do you think we've seen the best of him in his Cubs career?
The second one's a really good question. I would give him a B. I'd give him a B this season. No, definitely no higher. Maybe a B minus. I wouldn't go in the C range. What's his ERA right now? I mean,
it's at 4.11.
Yeah, I mean that's closer to C, I guess. Yeah, I thought it was a little bit lower after his last couple starts. So maybe it's a C plus. Maybe it's a C plus because we know he can be better. He's shown better. He's shown better this year, but not enough. Not enough. So I will say B minus, C plus in that range. I thought his ERA had gotten under four. He's got to get that under four to even think about, you know, having what you'd look back on as a good season. But as far as 16, can he get back to that, whether it's a 2.13 ERA or anything close to, you know, around a three? I think he can, Jay Hood. I think he can. But, yes, I guess I would say that in 16 we saw the best of Kyle Hendricks. Just like we saw the best of Jake Arrieta in 15, we may not see that Hendricks again. But I think we can see a 3 ERA pitcher, right? Maybe not a 2, maybe not a 4, but I think a 3 is where he should be considering his stuff. So we certainly have not seen that most of this season.
So I believe Joel Sherman reported that a team did put a claim in on Daniel Murphy, and then Phil Rogers just kind of floated it out there. Not reporting it, but just kind of speculating. Maybe the Cubs? I mean, what do you think about that, Jess? Any chance they'd like to add Daniel Murphy? Maybe it means they're a little worried about Bryant's health coming back. Maybe they're done with Addison Russell and they shift things on the infield. What would that mean if they did indeed put a waiver claim in on Daniel Murphy?
Well, that you just said it. I mean, those things that would be in play. Bodie's kind of come back down to earth. But before I flew here to Detroit, I was told by a very reliable source, 98.5%, it's not the Cubs.
Okay.
You know, every team in the National League would have a chance before them. Doesn't mean that it didn't get to them, but I'm told it wasn't them. At least this source was pretty darn sure.
Okay.
So, I believe him. I don't think it was the Cubs. Yeah, there's a scenario where it makes sense. With everything you just said, Russell's hurting with the finger, can't hit. Bryan is slow to come back. Bodie's come back down to earth. You'd lose a ton of defense if you picked up Murphy, but obviously he's hitting right now. But anyway, I'm told that it's not the Cubs.
What is the latest on some of the injuries for this Cubs team, Bryant and Montgomery in particular?
Yeah, I just saw on Twitter Montgomery got married yesterday, so that's interesting.
What?
You didn't tell anybody about that, yeah.
On a Monday?
I think that was
got
yesterday.
Married on a
yeah,
Monday?
Cheaper
on
rate.
The off day, obviously, you gotta find it. He's going to throw today, Jay Hood. So we'll know more. He says he's feeling better already. So hopefully he throws today. He can come off the DL on Saturday, and that's when they need a fifth starter. So cross your fingers about Montgomery. You know, it's a couple days since we've seen Bryant with the off day. I think he's getting close. I really do. He's got to face live pitching though. Just like we were talking about, Darvish has to air it out before we know. He's got to hit live pitching. You know, do a full follow through. The whole thing, to know if that shoulder is okay. He's pain-free right now, hitting off the tee, hitting off the machine, which is close enough to live pitching. So I think he's getting close. I really do. Again, I said yesterday, I think September 1st makes a lot of sense for all the reasons, you know, roster reasons, and just give him an extra week. They're not going to fall out of the playoff race the next week. So maybe they just give him that full week to get back, and then he's back for the final month.
All right, Jess, anything else?
No, that's about it. Headed over to Comerica right now. You know, I came to Detroit so many times with the Hawks, but mm-hmm. my second time here, I mean, for the Cubs, obviously, if they can't win these two games, I mean, I hate to say it like that, because Detroit is 32-30 at home. They're 19-44 on the road, so too bad this isn't at Wrigley Field, but there are games on the calendar. You just got to win the rest of the way. These two, for sure. The Cubs play three at White Sox Park. Sorry, Jay Hood, unless Popek pitches, you got to win two or three at least, right? So I hate to say you got to win two, but you need
you
to
gobble
up wins.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're not easy to score these days, right? It's hard to score some runs against the NL Central teams. And get this, they have two series on the road left in AL Central Parks, only one series left in an NL Central Park. They don't go to Pittsburgh. They're done with St. Louis. They only go to Milwaukee once. Obviously, that'll be a big deal. So here's a few AL Central games you got to win, and starting with these two for sure.
All right, Jess, talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
You got it. Take good. See you, Jay Hood.
So long, buddy.
There he is, Jesse Rogers at ESPN Chi Cubs, brought to you by the fine folks over at Continental Toyota.
You know, make sure you say hello to Mike Wishney when you go
That's
there.
That's right.
Detroit for two, and then four against Waddle's Reds.
And then I think the Mets, right?
Metropolitans. Are
I mean, you got to win.
Dead in the water there, the Mets.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Mets. But
so what is that? They've got nine games. Their next nine are against the Tigers, Reds, and Mets.
One against Atlanta, then Philadelphia.
I mean, don't you have to go 6-3 in that stretch, right?
They're so unpredictable. I don't know what to expect.
It's crazy.
I mean, seriously, it's not necessarily about the offense. I'm not over the moon about the offense. Obviously, they're struggling. We're documenting this daily.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that this is also an offense that at some point can catch fire. The starting pitching, I'm not so sure about. That's the thing that concerns me, and it should concern you as a Cub fan. It
hasn't caught fire all year. I mean,
no.
You know, not collectively.
So Detroit, Cincinnati, Mets, right into
6-3.
Yeah,
right.
You should.
Byron's on the Kennedy on ESPN 1000. Hey, Byron.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, listen, I just had a quick theory about why everybody's betting on Cleveland.
Yeah, the Browns? Go ahead.
Yep, and that is because they're all trying to catch that lightning in a bottle, like with some of the recent successes of long shots like the Vegas hockey team, that European soccer team that was, you know, the biggest loser in the world and ended up winning whatever.
The Premier League, Leicester City a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And I just think that, you know, you got a lot of people, you know, going for it. Saying, hey, you never know.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I guess, Byron, thanks. Somebody on Twitter suggested the same thing. The Golden Knights.
Like, it's the Browns,
you're looking for the, I mean, you're looking for the team like the Golden Knights.
Come on.
The Browns. I mean, they were, remember, this was a 0-16 team here, folks.
Look at their standpoint. Let's give it in their shoes for a second. In their shoes, they're looking for the Rams of 2018. And they're trying to figure out who is the Rams. Is it the Bears? Is it the Browns? Who's going to be that team that comes out? Is it the Raiders? That's why there's heavy money in the Raiders. They just want to be able to get ahead of the money.
I guess.
And just try to find who the Rams are for this upcoming season. I
get the over bet, but the AFC bet, that's crazy. Right. I mean, what is, I'm assuming, you know, the over is the underdog. Is that right? The over 5 is the dog in that scenario?
You know,
so
the,
at least you'd be.
Listen, you know the NFL better than I do when it comes to who's trending in the right way and not. I don't know who that is.
To go from 0 to 6 is a big jump, man. That doesn't happen often. Can any team do what the Rams did a year ago? I'm not so sure.
Even the Rams can't do what the Rams did a year ago. They're going to take a step back.
That's what
year.
A lot of people think, although they're good, man.
All right.
You got a lot of talent on that team. 312-332-3776. That's the number if you want to jump in. Every year, over 300 people die on Illinois roads as a result of buzz, drunk, or impaired driving crashes. That's terrible. That means everyone you know, including yourself, are at risk. It absolutely must stop. It's up to you to choose life or death. To learn more, connect through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit www.lifeordeathillinois.com. Chris Getz, who's the White Sox Director of Player Development, on Michael Kopech in his first big league start in about 15 minutes. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
All right, there's been a dramatic shift here in about the last 5 minutes, and I think it's virtually a lot. I mean, I've got a source that texted me about 15 minutes ago. I wish I checked my phone. Daniel Murphy is a Cub. That happened fast, Jess.
Yeah, thank God I left open 2% for you.
Yes, you left 1.5%, my friend.
1.5. It's the same source, very close to Murphy, who told me 98.5%. It wasn't him, but now just picked up and said it is him. It is confirmed. I don't know if the deal's done, but it looks like it is. Daniel Murphy will be a Cub. That is unbelievable news when you consider the log jam they have. But when you consider what they're doing since the All-Star break and what he's doing since the All-Star break at the plate, it's not that shocking. But again, I don't know if this means anything negative about Chris Bryant other than I don't think he's necessarily going to come back and be the Chris Bryant that won the MVP. I think we can all assume that. But I wouldn't jump to the conclusion that he's out for the season or anything like that.
I wouldn't either. Like I was telling Hoodie before, whether you want to get in, like, should you believe in, like, old adages anyway? But it always has been in baseball. This, I guess, doesn't make it right. But, like, when teams have issues with pitching, they normally go out and they try to add a hitter and vice versa. I mean, they might be looking at this rotation and another injury to Montgomery and this setback to Yu Darvish. And the struggles of Addison Russell and this finger injury, they might think we need another hitter, right? Be damned if we have too many position players. They're just going to have to figure it out, and they're going to have to try to slug their way out of this, slug their way to a pennant.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty shocking news. I thought they'd do this in the offseason, but this means a lot for Addison Russell's playing time. I mean, that's the guy that's going to take the hit. Baez is going to move over to short. I know this is all speculation, but it's pretty obvious. Daniel Murphy can only play one position.
Yeah.
So he's going to go to second. Their defense takes the hit. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And they saw a guy at shortstop not hitting with any authority, a guy that won the MVP that's still going to come back with a shoulder problem, another rookie that's cooled off in David Bote. You can't be scoring one run a game and win a pennant. So it is a little surprising, but it can't be shocking when you see 13th in slugging since the All-Star break. So a lot going on here. We'll get the details when we get to the park. But I saw the Nationals had called a news conference for 3 o'clock, and at the same time, I get the text from the source right after we hung up.
I'm mad at myself because I'll show Hoodie. It's time-stamped, 1 o'clock. Murphy to Cubs is done, and I wish I would have looked at my phone. And it's a good, it's a very good source.
I would have looked at it when I was on the phone with you.
I know.
It's so funny. At that same time, it says Happy Kopech Day on my phone. So you can suck it. How about them apples?
So go stick it.
How about them apples?
Yeah. All right.
Happy Kopech
Day. All right, boy.
We got to run. Thanks, Jess. Let us know when we hear about, what are we thinking here? Low level prospects, something like that in this deal, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's owed what?
$4 million.
Four million. So it won't take a lot to get him.
Okay.
There's no doubt.
All
free agent, $4 million, absolutely low level.
The
locker room will be open in an hour. We'll get every detail we need.
Okay. Thanks, hey, Jess. All right. Chris Katz is going to join us coming up. But I wish I would have looked at my phone, and I didn't until we got to break, but I got it at 1 o'clock, and then sure enough, now they're flooding into all over the internet machine here on Twitter. Daniel Murphy to the Cubs. Phil Rogers pegged it last night when he just sort of speculated. And when plugged in guys start to speculate, you know they're hearing something, that the Cubs were the team to put in the waiver claim on Daniel Murphy.
We do know that Murphy can play second, first, and third.
Well, he doesn't play any of them well, Hoodie, but he can hit.
Yes, he can. Yes,
I mean, right now, I'm telling you, with Montgomery, with the news on Darvish, with sort of Lester coming back to earth in this second half and how he struggled, even though he was better his last time out. Hendricks has been okay. Quintana's just been okay. Where are you going to get pitching? They're looking around thinking, let's slug our way to this damn thing, because they're in this window. They have to take every chance. And Daniel Murphy became available, and they added a hitter that has historically been good in October and a guy that's been real hot lately.
I understand that you got to have all hands on deck offensively if you are the Cubs, but again, that does not get away from the bigger issue, because if you cannot be able to secure something from a pitching standpoint, bullpen or starter, the Cubs' chances to be able to get to the World Series is limited.
All right.
Murphy's one guy. Now let's put the onus on these other guys to be able to hit out of this thing, and start getting out of the slumps. It's, you got eight other guys that need to be able to hit much better lately.
Listen, if you want to jump in on this, 312-332-3776, thoughts on the Cubs adding Daniel Murphy, and if this can help get them to where they need to go. I don't think it hurts. It might not be the end-all be-all, like Hoodie said, but they add an impactful bat. A guy that's been out with the injury a lot this year, but has come back and hit the ball well lately. And he's a kind of a proven commodity in October. Cub fans certainly know that from 15 with the Mets. We're also going to talk to Chris Getz coming up next, the director of player development for the White Sox. Big night on the South Side as Michael Kopech makes his MLB debut. Remember last year when you waited until the last minute to book your fantasy draft party and you had to use that party room at that place that does children's birthday parties, and there was no Wi-Fi or beer, and the only trading that happened was when you traded a long snake of perforated tickets for a neon snap bracelet? That sounds terrible.
Pardon the expression.
This year can be this year can be different. Book your fantasy football draft party at Buffalo Wild Wings and get wings and Wi-Fi and beer. Plus, while supplies last, you get a free draft kit on them. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Chris Getz is next on ESPN 1000.
White Sox.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Well, big day for baseball. The Cubs acquire Daniel Murphy, and on the South Side, Michael Kopech makes his big league debut. And for Hoodie and I and Sox fans everywhere, it's a big night. Even if he gets shelled, it's a big night.
I don't care.
I don't care,
brother. You know why?
A glimpse of the future.
Because it's Happy Kopech Day.
Happy Kopech Day. That's right. Jonathan Hood sitting in for Yurko. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. We get out to our guest hotline, and We had the pleasure of talking to him last year, and it's good to catch up with him again. Former big leaguer, former White Sox infielder, and current White Sox director of player development, Chris Getz, joins us now on ESPN 1000. Chris, thank you, as always, for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're very excited.
Are you kidding me,
Getz?
It's Happy Kopech Day. How are you guys doing? Are you kidding me?
It's been a long season.
What told you guys that he was ready for this?
Well, we can take this back 6-7 starts or so. I mean, he's really turned it on. We feel good where his delivery is. He's throwing strikes with his fastball. He's found confidence in his secondary pitches. Physically and emotionally, we feel like he's in a really good place and felt that now is the time to challenge him at the major league level.
All right, so what's the plan for the last 5-6 weeks here, Chris? I mean, is there a certain number of innings that you guys want to get him to? Is he going to go out there every fifth day until the end of the season? How have you mapped this out?
We'll certainly monitor each start, as we do with every guy. We know where he is innings-wise. He's getting very close to where he was last year. Now we'd like to build upon those innings just to set us up for 2019. But he's stronger than ever. He's on a very good run right now. He's shown no signs at all of slowing down. So he's in a very good spot overall.
Chris, personally, how does this make you feel to have Kopech in this spot right now? Here we are in August. How does it make you feel that one of the guys that you oversee is going to go up to the big club?
No, it's a really good feeling. I mean, I think as an organization, fan base, whatever you want to call it, it's something to be celebrated. Now, with that being said, you know, the major leagues is a goal, but now we hopefully have prepared him to have success here. But, you know, this year was not a push-button year. There were some ups and downs, but, you know, just really proud of Michael and what he's overcome here, and he's really shown us what he's capable of doing, and we're just going to build off of that hopefully here the rest of the season here in Chicago.
Like, aside from the mechanical stuff, Chris, how do you guys try to prepare players mentally? Because, like, failure is a big part of this, even for guys that go on to be great. It's just such a hard game at this level. Like, how do you start to prepare guys mentally for what they're going to endure?
You know, there's a mental skill kind of component to this, not to go too deeply into, but, you know, certainly mentally putting yourself in a major league mound and kind of imagining yourself as a major league pitcher. We try to, there's definitely an element of in training for those types of things. Now, in terms of simulating what the major leagues is, it's very difficult. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this stage. He's going to now face players that he hasn't faced before, very ultra talented players. Mm-hmm. You know, fans are going to have more access to him. Media is going to have more access to him. So we certainly try to put him in the best position possible to be prepared for those types of things. But, you know, there's really not too much we can do on the minor league side other than, you know, mechanically get this kid to understand who he is as a pitcher and really fill him up with as much confidence as possible to take on the next challenge.
Chris, when I talked to you earlier this season, we talked about the White Sox way. I want to ask you, as you look at the organization recently, how has that practice been throughout the organization of being able to exercise what you do at the major league level and permeate throughout the minor league level?
Well, you know, the White Sox way, it's more of an attitude. Certainly we have our philosophical beliefs, and certainly there's a trickle-down effect from the major leagues on down, but it's a pride in wearing the White Sox uniform. But in these certain areas, you know, whether it be pitching, hitting, defensive, base running, just the fundamentals of the game, we focus on those things daily. It's part of our conversations. It's part of our daily work. It's purposeful work, all those types of things. And our players have bought in, and we've seen good results so far.
Chris Getz, the White Sox Director of Player Development, is our guest. Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Jonathan Hood is in for Yurk. How about Aloy's development? And, you know, I won't get into, you know, what's going to happen the rest of this year. We know that there's a certain way organizations kind of view these hitters and the loopholes that exist. But just from the terms of where he's come this year, Chris, from where he started to where he is now, he sure looks like a big leaguer. And you can't find a scout that says, oh, this guy's going to be a bust. There's just so many positive things to like. What has his development been like, and has it gone exactly according to plan for you guys this year?
Well, I can't say it's gone exactly according to plan just because of he didn't get a full spring training. It was kind of he got banged up a little bit earlier in the year. There were some soft tissue injuries as well. So in terms of getting that April 5th starting date to now, there's been some it hasn't been smooth. Now, with that being said, it's almost like he hasn't missed any time. Even though there's layoffs, he seems to certainly get his feet under him and get comfortable in the box fairly quickly. But, you know, he was in Double-A for a stretch, took on that challenge. Now he's in Triple-A, and he's doing very well there. Those levels offer different things, different types of pitchers. Triple-A is typically, you've got more veteran-type pitchers, guys that have been in the major leagues. They pitch backwards. You know, there's more information. Mm-hmm. With that being said, he's answered the bell, and he's continued to close the gap. So we're happy where he's at. Certainly, we're working defensively on some things. He's gotten very good the last couple weeks here. He's gotten sharper. He's running the bases better. So We'll just continue to prepare him for the next challenge as well.
Well, obviously, we're very happy on Happy Kopech Day, but also we want to look at some of the other pitchers in the system. What other pitchers stand out to you that you've really enjoyed watching their progress?
Dylan Cease is certainly a name and a guy that's taken a step forward. You know, last year we got him in the trade from the Cubs. It was in his first full season. We aimed this year just to focus on getting a full season worth of innings under his belt as we move forward. But he's gone beyond that. Very mature kid, got an understanding of who he is as a pitcher, as a person. And he's got four plus pitches. He's learning how to use them properly. He's a very talented guy, and I look forward to talking about him more in the future as well.
I mean, he'll make the majors next year, won't he, Chris? It looks like it.
At this pace, I think he'll certainly be in the conversation. He's positioned himself well. He's positioned himself well going into the off season. I think, and we're excited to see where he is in spring training. And I wouldn't be surprised if he finds his way in the major leagues.
Yeah. How about Moncada? I mean, you know, like what would you guys still like to see him work on? Are the bat to ball skills an issue? Is there, you know, how high is the ceiling still for Yoan?
Very young player still, and the transition, unfortunately, isn't always just an automatic. You know, the bat-to-ball skills, certainly something that we've been talking about, we will continue. He still has a keen eye. I think there's some aggressiveness we can kind of unleash in there to kind of help this offensive process. Just being more consistent on a daily basis, bringing the focus to what it takes to be a major league player. But the ceiling has not gone away. That's for sure. We still believe in this kid. He's going to be part of this thing going forward. But Yoan Moncada is he's a guy that's going to lead us to where we need to go.
Hey, one more thing before we let you go. I mean, we've talked so much about Kopech, about Eloy, about you know, Moncada at this level, Dylan Cease, who you just talked about. Is there somebody that White Sox fans maybe haven't heard about as much? Is there somebody at any level of the minors that has really kind of opened your eyes in this minor league season here in 2018?
You know, I feel like we've got a handful of guys. You know, that Winston-Salem team has just had really performed very well as a team. Omar Vizquel is managing that at that affiliate, and he's done a tremendous job. But those guys have really fed off of each other. The Blake Rutherford, Luis Gonzalez, Mike Rodolfo when he was playing. Basabe was down there for a while. Joel Booker, Laz Rivera continues to play well. Nick Madrigal is there now. Mm-hmm. Really, really fun group to follow. But, you know, and it's tough to just pick one guy that's really taken a jump forward because they've all played really well. I think a guy that's not talked about quite as much, and perhaps it's because he's a reliever, but Ian Hamilton looks like he's going to be a back end of the bullpen type guy, kind of have the right mentality for that along with the stuff. You know, I could probably talk for days, but I've been very happy with the progress of a lot of these players.
Hey, Chris, one last thing. Happy Kopech Day.
To you guys.
No, you say it. I want to hear you say it, Chris. Happy Kopech Day. Come on.
Happy Kopech
Day. There you go.
Enjoy it tonight, Chris. We appreciate the time as always, all right?
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you. That's Chris Getz, former White Sox infielder and their director of player development. Lots to be excited about at the minor league level.
Absolutely. From Jesse, this Cubs note says a lot about the National League right now. The Cubs are 10-7 in August, despite a .307 on base percentage. It's the third best record in the National League. This is why you have the signing of the trade of Murphy.
Daniel Murphy. It should increase that on base percentage. Yeah, .307.
Can one guy get your offense started? That's the question.
Well, it's going to be two guys because Brian's coming back.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Like you said, that's your September. That's another one of your additions.
That's your call.
He's missed so much time.
Yeah.
All right, we will crosstalk with Sylvie coming up next. Sit tight, too, if you're on the phones, especially on the Murphy stuff, because we'll get into it when Sylvie rolls down here and once we officially transition into Waddle and Sylvie. I'm going to stick around and do the first couple hours with him today. Hey, what rhymes with trampoline? Well, as Hoodie pointed out yesterday, Valvoline. Sparkling ice plus caffeine? Well, maybe not, but sparkling ice now has caffeine, and it gives you enough bounce to help get you through your day. Sparkling ice plus caffeine is a sparkling water with zero sugar, bold flavor, and the right amount of caffeine with five deliciously fizzy flavors like blue raspberry, triple citrus, and orange passion fruit. Good luck picking a favorite. Grab a sparkling ice plus caffeine today at Bucky's convenience store near you.
Vaseline.
Vaseline. Valvoline, Vaseline.
Yeah.
And Brampoline, of course.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think that's all the words
that
go with. Yeah.
That might be it. It's Carmen and Yurko, hoodies in for Yurk on ESPN 1000.
Rosaline.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
It's
going down for
it. To our guests today, Trey Wingo, Jesse Rogers, and Chris Getz from the White Sox. Crosstalk's brought to you by, and thank you to Chris Black and Felix Reyes, of course. Crosstalk is brought to you by Low T. Feeling grumpy, tired, or sluggish? Could be low testosterone. Get your levels checked in less than 10 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com for more info. Hoodie will be back in tomorrow. I'm going to stick around with Sylvie until 4. Sylvie's back from vacation. Hello.
Happy Michael Kopech Day.
Yeah.
Happy Michael Kopech Day.
Two of the biggest Sox fans I know.
That's
right.
Here.
It's a good day.
Very exciting.
It's a good day. And again, no predictions on what's going to happen. I'm just going to sit back with a cold one and just
watch.
Come
on. Why not a prediction?
No.
I'm going to say.
How is this White Sox team?
Yes. I'm going to say he is.
We got over-unders we're going to do, Carm.
All right, we'll do it. I'll save it for that then.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to do over-unders for Kopech Day.
Oh, you guys go ahead.
What do you think? Over-under 18 strikeouts. What do you think?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Here comes a bunt sacrifice. It's down. We got it. Here comes Lurie. Yes.
Sacrifice goes 5-3.
It goes 5-3.
No, Lurie ain't coming up now. That poor guy looked like he blew out his hamstring.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oof.
They DL'd him, right?
They did. They DL'd him, yes.
Put in your over-unders how many sacrifice bunts that were going to
happen. Yeah, I know.
Right?
I heard you.
So
what was
ridiculous.
That?
Yesterday.
Please. Yesterday, yeah. I was driving around on my last day, getting errands done. Yesterday was the most I've listened in a couple of days.
Good. You decompressed
recharged,
a little.
Decompressed, yes. And tweet.
I don't blame you.
And I got to tell you, though, and it's off the subject, and I texted Hoodie. The best radio I heard all week was Hoodie at night about the Maryland situation. Last week, and the DJ Durkin situation. I was driving back from the pool with my son, and like it was 10 minutes of riveting, just sort of, sit back and just say yes, absolutely. And what you produced that day, it was what, like 7 o'clock or
7 o'clock hour.
7 o'clock hour. I mean, it was, Hoodie, it was the best thing I've heard in a long time on the radio.
Thank you. It's one of these things we have to address because that's a former NIU coach, and it's all this stuff about, you know, it's amazing how it is when all these coaches, they want the most out of players, and they talk about responsibility and all this, but then where's your responsibility as a head coach? I mean, they sit on their millions of dollars, and they talk about responsibility and accountability. Where's their accountability?
Sounds like it was a pretty bad culture there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were saying about accountability, I don't want to bring the show down
on
Kopech and Murphy Day,
no,
but
right.
I had to compliment you on the air because I texted him when I heard it because it was like standing ovation worthy radio.
Nice.
It was really
done.
Good. Yeah.
I was against the Cub game.
You were smoking.
I do something.
That's right.
It was good.
Thank you. It's Kopech night on the south side. Daniel Murphy, I don't know. I doubt he's going to be able to play tonight after this, probably tomorrow night in Detroit. But does that have you pretty excited?
It does. I yelled upstairs. I was listening to you guys. And Hoodie, I understand what you're saying. That yes, the Cubs, I believe in the big picture. The reason why this team hasn't sustained success is they say in baseball, the only momentum in baseball is the next day's starting pitcher. And when guys haven't been able to sustain good outing after good outing, you're not going to go on this long win streak. And that's why the Cubs haven't been on long win streaks. But the offense is ailing too. And there isn't a pitcher out there now that you can help with. So when you have questions about Chris Bryant's future, when you have questions about Addison Russell's health and just being good in general, and you may bench him, you could put Murphy at second, you could put Javi at short, and then hopefully Brian comes back at third. If Brian doesn't come back, you move Javi to third and Murphy plays second base for you. And Addy stays at short. Is a bat who can do damage without hitting home runs. I believe I read someone tweeted me, double check Carm too, that in the last 30 days he has been hitting like the old Daniel Murphy, like the young Daniel Murphy.
Very good in the second half so far. Look, this is a guy with a .380 on base percentage the last two plus seasons. He's been injured a lot this year. led the league in doubles each of the last 2 years. I mean, Daniel Murphy is an accomplished hitter. He gets on base. He's got opposite field power. He hits into the gaps. You know what he can do in October. Cub fans witnessed it firsthand back in 2015.
Oh, he's on the Will Clark, Steve Garvey, Cub killer platform.
Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt is, of course. Yeah, that's the... That's the
Mount Rushmore of Cub killers in the playoffs. 108 career plate appearances in the playoffs for Daniel Murphy in October. Career slash line of 323, 407, 613. OPS over 1,000 in the playoffs for Daniel
Murphy.
No, here's the thing.
It is worth a try.
I'm not knocking Murphy himself. I'm not knocking him. I'm just disappointed that the Cubs are in a position where they would need to rely on him to jumpstart an offense that is the best in the National League on paper.
That's my
point. It's not a knock on him. I'm just surprised that this Cubs team has been so up and down and mostly down offensively, where you are just kind of going all in on Murphy to be able to get this going. Because with a Rizzo in the lineup, and again, we've been talking about Bryant actually is your call up in September.
Yeah.
That's your September call up.
You hope, yes.
Yeah, yeah. If Bryant is Bryant.
You Darvish was supposed to be a September call up,
too. I was never a fan. You Darvish. Never
in April or in August.
Well, I didn't like the signing at the time.
Or in March.
No.
For February.
Ask Felix. He's heard me say it a million times at night. I was not a fan of the Darvish signing. Mm. I just thought he was on the wrong side of 30. I just thought that the way he crumbled in a big spot last year in the playoffs, I'm like, ugh. And he's a Cub now? That's not Cub. I didn't think that guy was not Cubs material. That's what I thought. Arrieta is more Cub material than you, Darvish.
Well, from a mentality standpoint, like in a makeup standpoint, I would say.
You have to do due diligence, by the way, don't you? Don't you have to kind of dig in there and find out more?
Yeah.
Why did it take? Who's the writer that you had on?
Yeah, I like that guy.
The guy from the Dodgers. He's the he was a columnist in the L.A. Times. Yeah. He speaks Japanese too.
Right, his mom's like Japanese, right?
Yeah.
So he knows the culture.
So he didn't need an interpreter, but there's been so many weird, just. Moments in the Darvish season, whether it was Twitter hates me in Chicago, whether it's, hey, I wanted to retire at the trade deadline last year before the Dodgers got me, whether it's, hey, the first 10 pitches of my rehab outing in the bullpen, I had extreme pain, but then I changed my mechanics and then I was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's just, and look, I don't think he saw, he is too much. He is too much major league goodness, and he's accomplished too much in the MLB to say that he's just soft. But I think they're going to find something that they haven't found. Don't you?
I don't know. Maybe what they could find is between his ears. Maybe that's the issue.
But I know the book on him was if you could get Tim early, you can get to him. But that's not. Hey,
this is a different book now, right?
Yeah,
he can't be scared.
That's most pitchers, by the way, including John Lester.
But he can't
get to him early. You can get to him.
Look, yeah, I don't want to go all David Wells on if Frank Thomas had the torn tricep or biceps. Wasn't it biceps?
No, triceps. I think
it was one of those.
Yeah.
And the Cutler stuff. Oh, he's soft. He's not tough.
I know.
I still believe whether it's they go in with a scope and then they find something, like something floating in there, or another MRI comes out and they say, yes, indeed, he does need Tommy John.
Or some sort of surgery.
Yeah, I don't expect this to just be, well, the guy's not willing to pitch with pain.
Right.
If that's the case, ooh, boy.
Well, that'd be bad.
All right. I
can't imagine that's the case.